Thank you again, Mr. Washburn. Usually after I get through finished, when I finish giving the announcements, I head back to my services or back to my seat for the hymn, and that's when I usually get inundated with the corrections and the mistakes that I made while I was up there, the things that I forgot. And today was no different. But I can raise my hands in justification because my wife thought I left out the date for Mr. Nylander's surgery that's coming up. She goes, "There's no date here in the bulletin. You didn't say the date." You said, "All you said was there was a date." But it is February 26th, and I said, "I think that's a Tuesday." So just sharing with you a little interaction between my wife and I. Usually she's 95% correct, and I usually have forgotten something or should have said something differently. If you were to examine your life from birth through your senior years, you would see that there are distinct areas or stages of your life as you grew up. Each stage of life prepares you for the next stage of your life. Together, these areas make us whole and complete as a person. In fact, I think we can largely define these areas of life into four distinct parts or stages. You have your preteen part of your life. You have your teenage part of your life. Your adulthood part of your life. And your senior years as well. How we proceed through each stage of life will determine how successful we will be overall in our life. When you examine your spiritual life, you can see that it is also made up of very similar stages. Each stage of our spiritual life is important to our overall success in our relationship with God. I want to say that again because it's really the important focus of my sermon today. Each stage of our spiritual life is important to our overall success and development in our relationship with God. We are all at different levels in our relationship or stages in our relationship with God. Yet we all proceed through the same spiritual stages during our life. So the good news is that today's message won't leave anybody out of the sermon. In today's sermon, I want to break down our spiritual lives into four different stages. And we'll look at the purpose of each stage in building our overall relationship with God. First, we have our spiritual preteen years. Our spiritual preteen years. If you'd like points, this would be point number one of four. This is the time that begins with God granting you a call in a relationship with Him. And that call or that invite is directly from God, and it's very personal to you. It's a very special time because from that moment, God gives you the ability to understand and to accept His truth. His call doesn't go out to a mind and a heart that is completely opposed to God and to His way. When He sends that call out to a person, it's an invite that allows you to accept it in your life. It doesn't force His call upon you or His relationship upon you, but it makes it palatable to you as a person. And the other thing to keep in mind is that call doesn't force you to accept it. It just simply gives you that opportunity to accept it. If you didn't grow up in the truth from an early age, then your calling will be a little bit different than someone who has grown up in God's truth. Either way, it's a genuine, sincere call from God to you. Let's look at this calling from Scripture. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus Christ is speaking here, and this verse is probably well memorized by most individuals within God's church. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Here Jesus makes the point of every person needing a call from God. It's a need that all of mankind has. This world is blind and deaf when it comes to understanding and seeing the need to observe God's truth, His law. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 36. John chapter 12, verse 36. We'll read verses 36 through 40. Jesus begins speaking here. It says, "When you have the light, believe in that light, that you may become sons of light." That statement applies to each person that is receiving that initial call from God to a relationship with Him. Jesus Christ is saying, when you have this word of truth presented in front of you, believe it, so that you may become sons of that truth. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe. See, that's a powerful statement in and of itself. Sometimes people will say, if I could just see a miracle from God, boy, then I would believe. But Jesus is saying, testifying here that so many people saw miracles, yet they did not believe. Belief is a gift to us from God. Verse 38, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Who has it been revealed to? Who understands it and accepts it? Verse 39, therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them." That Greek word for heal there can also be translated, make them complete. When a person receives that calling from God and moves on from that calling into baptism and receives God's Holy Spirit, there is a completeness that is formed in that individual's life. And we as physical human beings, without God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we are not complete as a person. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 1, and I'd like to read this from the New Living Translation. It's really the verse that we just finished reading about in John. "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed His powerful arm?" You see, it is God that does the revealing, that gives the person that ability to accept and to see and to appreciate what is being put before them. Isaiah 44, verse 18. This whole section here in Isaiah 44, actually beginning in verse 9, talks about the uselessness of idolatry. And it tells a story here about craftsmen, and that they make things out of stone and wood, and they fashion it with their hands. And the same items that they use, like for wood, for example, where they take it and they use it to make their meals, they build fires with it to create warmth. And then they look at the same thing and they say, well, I can fashion this into a god and I can worship it as well. So that's the context of this section without going in and reading it all. But let's pick up the story in verse 18. "Such stupidity and ignorance. Their eyes are closed and they cannot see. Their minds are shut and they cannot think. The person who made the idol never stops to reflect. Why, it's just a block of wood. I burned half of it for heat, and I use it to bake my bread and roast my meat. How can the rest of it be a god? Should I bow down to worship a piece of wood? The poor, deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts something that can't help him at all. Yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie? This world and its ways, even the Christianity of this world, are filled with idols. This world is filled with idols, things that man worships, that they treasure in their heart above the truth of the real God. And they fashion these things with their own hand, and they can't see that it's not going to do them any good for their eternal life and in their relationship with God. All of mankind has a carnal mind. I did when I was born. You did when you were born. We all have a carnal mind. A carnal mind is a mind that is fleshly. It is geared towards and focused on fleshly things. It's not a spiritual mind. That mind has no connections with spiritual things. And it leads to eternal death. It doesn't lead to a relationship with God. That mind has no connection with spiritual things whatsoever. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 6, and we'll read through to verse 8. Paul talks about this fleshly, natural mind of mankind. Verse 6, So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. Verse 7, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Always. It doesn't say just part of the time. Paul said that the sinful nature, that fleshly mind, is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. When you have God's Holy Spirit come in you, you're giving a spiritual mind. And it supersedes the fleshly mind. And it gives us that hope and that focus and appreciation for God's law. Man's only hope is for God to intervene, to remove the block in man's mind and heart towards God's law. When God does intervene, a very big change happens in a person's mind. God's truth suddenly makes sense. That person is moved to learn and to accept God's teaching. And it was done that way for you. And I'm sure you have your own stories, and it was done that way for me. The first 18 years of my life, I could care less about whether I was doing something that was right or wrong. But when God gave me the understanding and appreciation for His law, it made a big difference in my mind. And it was almost like a switch was flipped, to where all of a sudden I saw that I needed to obey God's law. And it certainly wasn't because I was a pretty good kid for 18 years and obedient to God. It wasn't that way at all. Just the opposite, as a matter of fact. But when God intervenes in a person's life, a big change happens. During this preteen phase of our spiritual life, a person needs to focus on learning God's law. Dive into it. Make it a part of your mind. Study it deeply. I bet if we went and passed a microphone around to each person in here and they talked about their initial call and relationship with God, I bet they would tell stories of how they studied and dove deep into God's Word and studied it late into the evening, week after week. And they made God's law a foundation in their mind and their heart. That's the most important thing a person can do. Doesn't matter what your physical age is. But if you're in this category of having and receiving that call from God, dive in His law. Make it a part of your mind. Understand it as deeply as you possibly can. For nothing is more important. The holy law of God must be the foundation of our relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father. Prove it. Don't just accept it because the church tells you about it. If you've grown up with this way of life all your life, and maybe you're in your teen years now, prove it. Don't just do it because I say it. Don't do it because the church teaches it. Prove it for yourself. Study it from God's Word. Ask your parents about questions you have. Don't ask me questions. I don't want a question. Just kidding, of course. I welcome questions. I may not always have the answer, but I will work my tail off to get you the right answer. Ask questions. That's so important as you're studying God's Word and His truth and His law. Mr. Armstrong, I can still remember back when God was first calling me, and He would tell us that, don't believe me, believe God's Word. It's so important that that be your focus as a spiritual preteen. The book of Proverbs was largely written by Solomon, and his message is written primarily to who? To the youth, to those that are just developing their relationship with God. They're just developing their personality and who they are as a person. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Proverbs 1, beginning of verse 1, I want to read down through verse 7, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insight of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let's go to the next chapter, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I'll read this from the New King James Version. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment. See, that's a prayer going to God, asking for God to help you to understand His truth and His Word. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. See that? For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. You see, when God is working with that person in their spiritual preteen years, He is giving you the wisdom and the knowledge and the ability to understand His law and to accept it into your life. Deeply learning God's law will lead you to Jesus Christ and to the Father. It will teach you who they are, and it will show you God's entire plan of salvation. The young in the faith should devote this early stage in their relationship with God to acquiring a deep understanding of the law. And it's a time to fall in love with God's law, to appreciate it. David certainly did. The writer, author of Psalms 119 certainly did, and we don't know for sure if it was David or not. But Psalm 119, verse 97 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. fall in love with God's law. That is the most powerful thing that you can do in your spiritual preteen years. For those that are at the early stages of their calling, it is so important that they grow up in Christ with the milk of the truth. The milk of the truth is God's law. Let's notice the encouragement for those that are young in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Cheering for me? Do you hear that cheering going on? I don't think so. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. See, that's talking about a focus of changing your focus in life and the way you've lived your life. There's it's saying, lay it aside. Put it out of your life. Verse 2, then as newborn babes, desire the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up to a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. That's the work that is being begun in a person in their spiritual preteen years. They're being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What are those spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God and to Jesus Christ that are acceptable? Obedience to God's law. How's that a sacrifice? How's obedience to God's law a sacrifice? Because you are putting yourself second to God's will in your life. That's a sacrifice. You're saying, God, I'm going to obey your law and put myself and my desires second. I would love to go out this Friday night to the dance and be with all my friends. But I know you tell me that the Friday night is holy time. It's your Sabbath. It's a day of rest, a time of reflection and worship and prayer and study. So, Father, I'm going to sacrifice my desire and put you first. That's a sacrifice that is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A young Christian will crave the milk of God's truth and realize that God has started a work in you to form you into his spiritual temple. The foundation in your relationship with God must be built upon the law of God. That moves us in to the next stage of our spiritual life, and that is our teen years. Our spiritual teen years. This time period begins with your baptism. From this point moving forward, you're very much like a teenager in real life. You're still very much learning, but you're also moving into a deeper relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now you have God's Holy Spirit living within you, and it's at work in your life, guiding you, directing you in your life in every way that you need it. You'll find that the Spirit doesn't force you into obedience. That's not the role of God's Holy Spirit. But it helps you to become more consciously aware of right from wrong. And it works with your conscience to encourage you to choose the right way of life. It helps motivate you towards obedience. God's gentle touch in your life leads you in the path of righteousness. And now God's law is becoming ever more at home in your heart. That's not just a nice thing. It's reality. Because it's God's plan for you as a young person that has received His Holy Spirit. Let's go to Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Yes, that's a scripture for the future, when Jesus Christ returns, but it's also a scripture for the now, for the present, because God is doing it in those people's lives that He is calling. He's doing it in those people's lives where He has placed His Holy Spirit. He is putting His law in our minds, and He's writing them in our hearts. That means that we have the knowledge of God, and we have the love for His law, for His truth. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. I want to read this from two translations. Start with the New King James Version, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. The New King James Version says, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul." And what does it lead to? That you may live. That you may live. It's talking about eternal life, that you may have eternal life. I want to read that same verse from the New Living Translation, because I think it really brings out a very important point in what God is trying to have us receive from this verse. The Lord your God will change your heart. You see, that's what's taking place when God places His Spirit in a person. A change in their heart takes place. For the Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of your descendants. And we know from other scriptures that God makes this promise. When He works in your life, He promises to work in your descendants' lives as well. The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of your descendants so that you will love Him with all your heart and soul, and so you may live. This can't begin to happen until you have God's Holy Spirit living within you. Often these spiritual teenage years bring tests and trials of your faith. They certainly did for me, and I bet they did for most of our brethren here today. Why do these tests and trials of our faith often happen shortly after we're baptized? For two reasons. First, because Satan knows you are now a young child of God, and he wants to bring discouragement into your life. Secondly, because God knows that by hard work and exercise, spiritual hard work, spiritual exercise, you're building spiritual muscles. And in your youth, that will greatly benefit you as you mature in your relationship with Jesus Christ. As a young person in Christ, you need those trials and those tests to build your faith, to build your strength and your foundation in Jesus Christ and God the Father. Just as a real teenager, you're learning how to work through the difficult times of life. Spiritually, you're learning to build your patience, faith, and trust in God. God allows trials because He knows they will help solidify your foundation with Him. As a spiritual teenager, you're encouraged to stay awake, be alert, watching for Satan's devices that are designed to knock you off the course towards God's kingdom. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5, we'll read down through verse 10, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. as a young person, even in I'm talking about physical teenager now, quite often they're cocky, they're proud, they got all the strength, the vitality, they're ready to charge off and conquer anything. Jesus Christ is sitting here talking to those that are spiritually teenagers, and he refers to them, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself with humility." This is the time to put on humility as a spiritual teenager. "Humble yourselves," verse 6, "therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." See, that's the work that's being done in those trials of our life. And when you experience those shortly after receiving God's Holy Spirit and baptism, that is the work that's being done to strengthen you, to confirm you, and to establish you in your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Very important work being done in our life. God works to establish you in his faith. During your spiritual teenage years, you are learning to rely upon God and to always keep your focus on him. These are your faith-building years. As a spiritual teenager, draw close to God. Learn to trust him. Learn to ignore the physical things that might be happening around you. And from my years in the church, I can't stress that enough. Learn to ignore the physical things that might be happening around you. I've seen so many of my brethren get caught up in the physical things that happen inside the church, and they end up going astray. They pay attention to those things instead of ignoring them. Physical events have pulled so many away from their spiritual path, and it's Satan's way of destroying a person spiritually. He wants us to focus on our physical needs, on the physical problems, the physical trials, in hopes of causing discouragement and leading a person astray. This takes us to the third area of our spiritual stage, our spiritual stage of life, and that is our spiritual adult years. Our spiritual adult years. And I put this category to be a person that has been baptized now somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 years. You've been baptized for 15 or 20 years. You're now in the category of a spiritual adult. You're now becoming a mature Christian. You have a deep knowledge of God's law and his word. Your foundation in Christ has been built, and you are established in the faith. You're moving ever closer to being spiritually born into God's family, something we all look forward to. Through God working with you in your life, you're now growing in wisdom and the practical application of God's truth in your life. You are now disciplined in the law and becoming more and more like your brother Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Just as a curiosity point, raise your hand if you've been baptized for 15 or more years. We have a strong, spiritually adult congregation, and that's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Shows the faithfulness that has been established in your life. It's a beautiful thing. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. From the New Living Translation, it says, "Students are not greater than their teacher, But the student who is fully trained, shows that maturity there, who is fully trained will become like the teacher. See, that's the work that's being done in you as a spiritual adult. That you're becoming like your teacher, Jesus Christ. As a mature Christian, you are teaching the younger the ways of God. Now God's Spirit is having a full impact in your life. And because you've learned to yield your life to God's Spirit, you are bearing fruit. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. The fruit that you're now bearing and producing as being an adult, spiritual adult in God's church. Your life is a life of love. It's a life of joy, peace, patience, kind-heartedness, goodness is a part of your nature. Mature in faith, gentle to all. And you've learned to master the self by placing others first. Now, don't be too discouraged. If you listen to that list and you think, wow, I'm not there yet. None of us are perfect. But all of us have grown to some degree in the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. It's happening in our life. We're all growing towards perfection. And we're all at different stages of becoming like Jesus Christ. But it is taking place. It's happening. Each of us have our own individual strengths in God's Spirit. In fact, some attributes of God's Spirit may come very naturally, while other attributes need more of our focus to develop them in our life. Everyone's growth in Christ is at a different level, yet we're all growing in Christ, and that's the important thing. We're all at different stages, yet we're all a very vital part of the body of Jesus Christ. God's work is being done in you through His Holy Spirit. The overall message at the adult stage is that we're to stay the course and bear much fruit. Stay the course and bear much fruit. This is brought out very powerfully in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Jesus Christ talks at depth about the importance of a person that is of the faith bearing fruit. I won't take the time to read the 17 verses, but I would encourage you in your studies later to look that over. Think about what Jesus Christ is saying about the importance of bearing fruit. As maturing Christians, as spiritually adult Christians, it's very important that we never lose sight of the importance of bearing fruit. This takes us to the last category, and that is of being a spiritual senior. A spiritual senior. I place this category at those that have been baptized for 30 plus years. 30 plus years. I want to start this section by showing God's special love and concern for His spiritual seniors. Let's go to Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Again, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation here. Verse 3. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Until your hair is white with age, I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. What a powerful, inspired statement to those that have reached an incredible level of maturity in the faith. God tells us that He will be with us and He will carry us and bring us through to safety. Jesus is with you and has been with you from your birth up until this very day. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. You can put that in your notes if you would. Revelation 3, verse 12 says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more." Those that are reaching this level of spiritual seniors within the faith are becoming that pillar in the temple of God. They're becoming that pillar, the structure that holds up the body. God's work in you has produced a man or woman with an intimate and accurate knowledge of God's law, along with most other aspects of God's Word. In fact, His law is now fully in your heart and mind, fulfilling His desire for you. Through decades of experience, you have developed wisdom and understanding, unlocking the keys to a more powerful relationship with God. In the last 5 or 10 years of my life, I can tell my understanding of God's law and how to put it to work in my life and how I'm supposed to treat other people has been magnified incredibly. God has brought me additional knowledge to see how important it is how I give love when it's not easy to give love. It's shown me how I need to obey God's law in more than just stopping my work when Friday night at sunset hits. The older you get, the more mature you become in God's Holy Spirit, the more depth God reveals to you about His work and His truth and His law in your life. But through decades of experience, you develop wisdom and understanding, unlocking the keys to a powerful relationship with God. Let's go to Job. Actually, you don't have to go there. You can just reference this in your notes if you like. Job chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Wisdom belongs to the aged and understanding to the old." God has brought you to a point where all of His work has now produced a man or woman with a powerful foundation through Jesus Christ. You have weathered many trials, developed patience and faith in Jesus Christ that it takes to enter eternal life. Through the Spirit of God, you built character and you have borne much fruit, and you have a dear love for your brethren that comes from a sincere heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. I asked this earlier for the spiritual adult years. How many of us have 30 plus years of being baptized in the faith? I don't hardly think the hands have changed much. Very inspiring. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Let me switch to the New King James Version. "Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." See, that is the work that is being done by those that are of the senior level of their spiritual stage of life. It is what a mature Christian is all about. So what is God's message to our spiritual seniors? Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Titus chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Thank you. Verse 1, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. That the older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That's the message for our spiritual seniors. That's what God wants us to be perfecting now as spiritual seniors. These sound things that keep the body strong and focused and headed in the right direction. We need to be good examples, for many are watching. In and out of the faith, many are watching. By your example, others are gaining spiritual strength for their foundation. Henry David Thoreau said the following. It's kind of worded difficultly, so you kind of tune into what he's saying here. If you would convince a man that he does wrong, do right. But do not convince him. Men will believe what they see, so let them see. By your good example of obedience, self-control, true outgoing love, you will do more for our spiritual youth than 1,000 sermons. Brethren, it doesn't matter what spiritual stage we're in. Every stage is vital when it comes to becoming like Jesus Christ. That is our work. That is the work of every person in here, no matter what your spiritual age. The important thing to remember is that whether God's work in you is just starting or you are a spiritual senior, God will be with you through it all until the end. I want to close the sermon today by reading Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And this is from the New Living Translation. Philippians 1, verse 6. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is fully finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. I hope the rest of your Sabbath is very special.